Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening over other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this beautiful Sabbath on my neck of the woods. I hope that you all are having very good and fair weather. On this Sabbath, August 12, 2023, this is our part two review of our chapter 77. Entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, Part 9 of our Lesson 388. I pray everyone can see the presentation clearly on their side. I don't know where my cursor does go. It stopped floating. Just a minute, let me look for it. There he goes. I still can't find it. Okay, there you go. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot theme song to our study entitled Heart Till the Shepherd Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In. It's number 361.
There, now it's on. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find? Who'll bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert hear their cry, out on the mountain wild and high. Hark, 'tis the shepherd speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the little tiny tots, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, would like to open their review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for this morning to protect us. Please protect to my mommy. Please protect to my daddy. Take a Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sixth day, shall I labor. And seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. And Jesus, the shepherd, which thou art about to know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear ones, we are going to take the time to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household or even in the neighborhood or among their friends. If you would like to share the little blessings that the little one has been in your household, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, dear ones. For this week's Mommy's and Daddy's little blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley. As I mentioned a couple of weeks back, that Haley just recently learned how to ride her bicycle, and now she is paying it forward as Mia was the one to help her to learn. She's now taking her time to teach her little cousin how to ride the bicycle to be a little bit more comfortable on it. She was really afraid, the little cousin, but Haley was being patient and, you know, holding her hand and encouraging her all the way. So as she's teaching her this life skill of learning how to ride a bicycle, I pray that Haley and Emma could continue to be beacons of light to all they come into, teaching them not just about these things, but teaching them about heavenly things. So I'd like to take a moment to just highlight her and them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any other family that would like to share? May you unmute your mic. We are going to continue in our study. Welcome to all the precious family. We are going to review chapter 13, Riding into Jerusalem, part 4, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
All right, the Bible verse for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And from Luke 19:43-44, it says, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Genesis 3:15. Adam will tell you, it is the seed of the woman. This is the answer to the first question. It is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham. He will tell you, it is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace. Genesis 49:10, Jacob will tell you, he is Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Next slide, please. Continuing, it had been the child of his care, that's Jerusalem was. And his heart was filled with anguish as he realized that it would soon be made desolate. Had her people given heed to Christ's teaching and received him as their Savior, Jerusalem would have stood forever. We can't imagine Jerusalem lasting until today, but it would have. She might have become the Queen of Kingdoms, free in the strength of her God-given power. There would then have been no armed soldier waiting at her gates, no Roman banner waving from her walls. From Jerusalem, the dove of peace would have gone to all nations. She would have been the crowning glory of the world. But the Jews had rejected their Savior. They were about to crucify their king, and that's what the devil wanted. And when the sun should set that night, the doom of Jerusalem would be forever sealed. About 40 years afterward, Jerusalem was utterly or completely destroyed and burned with fire by the Roman army. Reports had come to the rulers that Jesus was nearing the city with a vast company of followers. They went out to meet him, hoping to scatter the throng. With a show of much authority, They ask, who is this? Matthew 21:10. The disciples, filled with the spirit of inspiration, answered, Adam will tell you, it is the seed of the woman that shall bruise the serpent's head. Ask Abraham. He will tell you, it is Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace. Jacob will tell you, he is Shiloh of the tribe of Judah. Next slide. Continuing, we will end with chapter 13, writing in Jerusalem, the disciples filled with the spirit of inspiration answered. Isaiah will tell you, Emmanuel, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah will tell you, the branch of David, the Lord our righteousness. Daniel will tell you, he is Messiah. Hosea will tell you, he is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. John the Baptist will tell you, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The great Jehovah has proclaimed from his throne, this is my beloved Son. We, his disciples, declare, this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Life, the Redeemer. And even the prince of the power of darkness acknowledges him. That's the Satan. He's the prince of the power of darkness. He would say, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. When Jesus accosted the devil who was in possession of some person, that's what the devil said. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And that was taken from the story of Jesus, pages 86 and 87.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will begin a new chapter, chapter 14 of our lesson entitled, Take These Hands in our Tiny Tot Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place. I think I have the date wrong. On the 19th of August, 2023, we will update and change it. Now we are going to ask our dear brother to continue with the review question.
All right, in review, how would Jerusalem have stood forever?
Had they heed Christ's teaching, read and received him as their savior.
Yes, if they had listened to his teaching and done what he told them and accepted him as their savior, Jerusalem would never have been destroyed. When was Jerusalem destroyed by the Romans?
About 40 years afterward.
That's right. A Roman general by the name of Cestus came and laid siege to the city. That means that he surrounded it so nobody could come out. And they wouldn't open the gates. And then he left. 3 years later, Titus, another Roman general, came back and laid siege again. He surrounded the city and wouldn't let anybody out. And the Lord delivered the city into his hands because he said when he finally conquered it, I shouldn't have been able to have done this. This place is too well built, too strong, too fortified. But God gave it to him. What did the ruler ask when they met Jesus?
Who is this?
Yeah, like they didn't know. They knew him and they hated him. And it's sad to realize that they would hate somebody so kind and so loving, so good. Once we turn our backs on Jesus, it's very hard to turn around and say, I was wrong. And they refused to do that. They could have accepted him early in his ministry, but they once said, we don't know him. He's nobody. How knoweth this man anything? He never came to our school. And they refuse to acknowledge and say, we were wrong. This is the Messiah. If they had, Jerusalem would have stood forever. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So it's time for the little ones and the family, those that are also listening out of devices, to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. This is the part of the 42nd of the water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother will share the review.
So, blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning water. The water of life, part 42nd, a review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of John chapter 1, and the lesson 12 is Peter, John, and other disciples. And verses 140 to 42 say, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by a interpretation, a stone. Research, we have found the Messiah. Andrew sought to impart the joy that filled his heart. Going in search of his brother Simon, he cried, we have found the Messiah. Simon waited for no second bidding. He also had heard the preaching of John the Baptist, and he hastened to the Savior. The eye of Christ rested upon him, reading his character and his life history. His impulsive nature, his loving, sympathetic heart, his ambition and self-confidence, the history of his fall, his repentance, his labors, and his martyr death, the Savior of it all. And he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. The Desire of Ages, page 139. Jesus saw in Simon Peter a disciple that will become very helpful by telling others about himself. He first needs to learn how to follow Jesus. Do you know how to follow Jesus? And here about this picture of someone holding in sand says Romans 9:27, King James Version. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, our remnant shall be saved. And then these scriptures say, ye are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. Below are, and on the top left is, our orange seahorses sown in eelgrass and the salty sea. And in the middle are globules, and on the bottom right is a loggerhead sea turtle. Glass eel. Right. And this is the life cycle of a glass eel. First they start as eggs, then as a leptocephalus, or more of a baby glass eel. Then they mature and become a glass eel, and then an elver, and then a yellow eel, and finally a silver eel. And then the first half is through an oceanic phase, and the second half is the continental phase. Continuing our reference reading for the water topic of our Tiny Talks lesson review, chapter 14, we have found the Messiah, part 2. The disciple John was a man of earnest and deep affection, ardent yet contemplative. He had begun to discern the glory of Christ, not the worldly pomp and power for which he had been taught to hold, but the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. He was absorbed in contemplation of the wondrous theme. Andrew sought to impart the joy that filled his heart. Going in search of his brother Simon, he cried, "We have found the Messiah." Simon waited for no second bidding. He also had heard the preaching of John the Baptist, and he hastened to the Savior. The eye of Christ rested upon him, reading his character and his life history. His impulsive nature, his loving, sympathetic heart, his ambition, self-confidence, the history of his fall, his repentance, his labors, and his martyr death. The Savior read it all, and he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus will go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." Philip obeyed the command, and straightway he also became a worker for Christ. Philip called Nathanael. The latter had been among the throng whom the Baptist pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God. As Nathanael looked upon Jesus, he was disappointed. Could this man who bore the marks of toil and poverty be the Messiah? Yet Nathanael could not decide to reject Jesus, for the message of John had brought conviction to his heart. And here are our bonus questions. And well, question one is, who did Andrew go to find and to tell about the Messiah? Find the answer in John 1:41. And two, what did Andrew tell his brother Simon? Oh, the answer is also in the same verse, John 1:41. And third, final question, where did Andrew take Simon? Oh, what did Jesus say about Simon? The answer is in John chapter 1, verse 42. Now I'll turn the lesson and the mic back to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wonder ones to Jesus. Our opening song is a hymn to our theme entitled "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." You can also find it in number 290 if you have the book. If you would like to join us in singing the hymn, you can be able to unmute your mic to do so. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a lookout. The Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him there. Our sin no more had done, for nothing conquers we are. Look forth in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and praise.
Believe him, and I will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look forth in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to be able to open our review section of our family study with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Now, blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning, and please protect us, and please protect a Sabbath with a lot to learn, and please protect the people that's here and people that's not here, they come back to this Sabbath. And please protect every other Sabbath. And please protect every, in Jesus' name, pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. Our opening scripture to a theme of our review lesson is taken from Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6 from the King James Version, and it's a memory verse from the Scripture Singer Song Memory CD in the section of Promises.
We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear all the comments or your answers to the question or anything else you would like to ask, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread last Sabbath lesson. Who would like to be able to take the first paragraph of a page 735? May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
It is our favorite. Go ahead, Sister Karina. I'll go ahead and bubble down.
No, Sister, you go ahead.
Okay. You can take the following slide there, sister. We can share. The Desire of Ages, page 735. When Pilate gave Jesus up to be scourged and mocked, he thought to excite the pity of the multitude. He hoped they would decide that this was sufficient punishment. Even the malice of the priest, he thought, would now be satisfied. But with keen perception, the Jews saw the weakness of thus punishing a man who had been declared innocent. And I'll bubble down and share with my dear sister Verena.
And continuing, the Desire of Pages, page 735. They knew that Pilate was trying to save the life of the prisoner, and they were determined that Jesus should not be released. To please and satisfy us, Pilate has scourged him, they thought. And if we press the matter to a decided issue, we shall surely gain our end. The Desire of Ages, page 735, paragraph 2. Thank you, dear sister.
The Desire of Ages, page 735. Pilate now sent for Barabbas to be brought into the court. He then presented the two prisoners side by side, and pointing to the Savior, he said in a voice of solemn entreaty, "Behold the man, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know I find no fault in him." Desire of Ages, page 735, paragraph 3.
There stood the Son of God, wearing the robe of mockery and the crown of thorns, stripped to the waist. His back showed the long, cruel stripes from which the blood flowed freely. His face was stained with the blood and bore the marks of exhaustion and pain, but never had it appeared more beautiful than now. The Savior's visage was not marred before his enemies. Next slide, please.
Continuing, every feature expressed gentleness and resignation and the tenderest pity for his cruel foes. In this manner, there was no cowardly weakness, but the strength and dignity of long suffering. In striking contrast was the prisoner at his side. Every line of the countenance of Barabbas proclaimed him the hardened ruffian that he was.
Continuing.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Thank you. Continuing on the Desire of Ages, page 735. The contrast spoke to every beholder. Some of the spectators were weeping. As they looked upon Jesus, their hearts were full of sympathy. Even the priests and rulers were convicted that he was all that he claimed to be. Desire of Ages, page 735, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages, page 735. The Roman soldiers that surrounded Christ were not all hardened. Some were looking earnestly into his face for one evidence that he was a criminal or dangerous character. From time to time, they would turn and cast a look of contempt upon Barabbas, and needed no deep insight to read him through and through. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading, again they would turn to the one upon trial. They looked at the divine sufferer with feelings of deep pity. The silent submission of Christ stamped upon their minds the scene. never to be effaced until they either acknowledged him as the Christ or by rejecting him as him decided their own destiny. Desire of Ages, page 735, paragraph 5.
The Desire of Ages, page 736. Pilate was filled with amazement at the uncomplaining patience of the Savior. He did not doubt that the sight of this man, in contrast with Barabbas, would move the Jews to sympathy. But he did not understand the fanatical hatred of the priest for him, who as the light of the world. Next slide, please. Thank you. Continuing, had made manifest their darkness and error. They had moved the mob to a mad fury, and again, priests, rulers, and people raised that awful cry, "Crucify him, crucify him." At last, losing all patience with their unreasoning cruelty, Pilate cried out despairingly, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Desire of Ages, page 736, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us consider our verse for review, taken from 1 Peter 3:15. Bo sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned in ways we have grown? Here are the 6 questions that we have held for us to be able to review today. We are going to read it out for those that are not able to see the screen. And if you are moved to be able to share, dear ones, please do by unmuting your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, where did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one, dear ones, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place them in the room, you could do so. Otherwise, share it through the mic. Who would like to do number 1, dear ones?
The main characters here we saw was Christ, Pilate, the priest, and the Pharisees. And even here in this section, we learned about the character Barabbas.
The answer to question 2, what is the main idea for this Sephora story? My answer is Jesus getting scourged and mocked and the crowd's verdict.
The answer to number 3, where did the story take place? We see that the series has been taken place in Pilate's judgment hall.
The answer to question 4, when did the story begin? Pilate giving of Jesus to be scourged and mocked, exciting the crowd. Mm-hmm. My answer to the question about how can you relate to the story, Jesus was submissive through the whole affliction, and he didn't complain, he didn't give no outburst, no matter how much they beat him so hard, or they, swore, curse, or right, if after getting beaten many times like that, but he was being nothing but meek and calm, as if they did no wrong. And this was supposed to be, what he foretold or what happened to his disciples. It was from days before the event.
Number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? You learn what the character of Satan is like. You learn what the character of the unconsecrated are like. When somebody is being put down, everybody puts that person down. If somebody's being praised, the whole bunch come in and join in the praising. They don't really know why, but human nature is to go along with the crowd. And the Bible says, not to follow a multitude to do evil. And that's what they were doing that day. It wasn't just the Pharisees yelling, crucify him. There were people in there yelling that didn't even know Christ. They sure didn't know of his good works, his character. But because everybody else was yelling, crucify him, well, their human nature came out and they yelled, crucify him too. We must do what we believe and believe what we do. We need to realize that we better know what we're talking about before we open our mouths.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick, for sharing. And also, would you like to be able to touch upon the circumstances? Remember when we was reading at the beginning of the Tiny Tot story, where even at the end, even Satan even proclaimed who Jesus was? This is the sad part about it. Satan proclaimed him, and the very people that he had given them the word as depository, they didn't even acknowledge it. They was asking who he was. And that's what I had picked up also on the story. I would like to even touch upon a little bit, as in, by looking at the way how Jesus handled the circumstances, what I have learned, and I'm beginning to try to ask the Holy Spirit to help, is that Jesus, by focusing on what he came to do, and that was to reveal the character of his Father to a world that didn't know him. By he focusing on that purpose, the Spirit of the Lord was not only upon him, but he himself for being obedient to his Father's will. Power was given to even resist all of the taunting and all the things that he was going through, because he had a stronger I would not say a stronger purpose, but he knew the purpose that he was there. And he also needed them that by seeing him, it will bring conviction as well. So it's not only for what he was doing, but what that can also do for those that were so hard-hearted and didn't really realize. And the more he submitted himself to the process, the more the glory of the Lord was shining upon his face. I just wanted to share that. And if anybody else would like to be able to share, may you please unmute your mic. We are going to proceed, dear ones. We have poems and also favorite thoughts and special music. And the thoughts was taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students. It's entitled God's Ideal for Man, pages 365, paragraph 1 through 366, paragraph 1 margin. And the opening of the scripture is taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 2, King James. And it reads, "And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." Also, you can find it in another book, which is entitled Jesus' Name Above All Name, in the title of Great Teacher, pages 228, paragraph 1, 228, paragraph 6. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one?
The religion of Christ never degrades the receiver. It never makes him coarse or rough, discourteous or self-important, passionate or hard-hearted. On the contrary, it refines the taste, sanctifies the judgment, and purifies and ennobles the thoughts, bringing them into captivity to Jesus Christ. Counsel to Teachers, page 365, paragraph 1.
God's ideal for his children is higher than the highest human thought can reach. The living God has given in his holy law a transcript of his character. The greatest teacher the world has ever known is Jesus Christ. And what is the standard he has given for all who believe in him? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Matthew 5:48. As God is perfect in his high sphere of action, so man may be perfect in his human sphere. That's paragraph 2 of the same book.
The ideal of Christian character is Christ's likeness. There is open before us a path of continual advancement. We have an object to reach, a standard to gain, which includes everything good and pure and noble and elevated. There should be continual striving and constant progress onward and upward toward perfection of character.
Without the divine working, man can do no good thing. God calls every man to repentance, yet man cannot even repent unless the Holy Spirit works upon his heart. But the Lord wants no man to wait until he thinks he has repented before he takes steps toward Jesus. The Savior is continually drawing men to repentance. They need only to submit to the drawing, and their hearts will be melted in repentance. Christ's teaching?
Continuing, to man is allotted a part in this great struggle for everlasting life. He must respond to the working of the Holy Spirit. It will require a struggle to break through the powers of darkness, and the Spirit works in him to accomplish this. But man is no passive being to be saved in indolence. He is called upon to strain every muscle and exercise every faculty in the struggle for immortality. Yet it is God that supplies the efficiency. No human being can be saved in indolence. And now I'll continue. The Lord bids us strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Wide is the gate and broad is the way
that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And Christ's teaching, I believe, is the book. Sorry that I missed that. And then this is page 366, paragraph 1. Further reflection. If Jesus could teach me today, what one thing I want to learn? What is one thing that I want to learn? Interesting.
The book is Counsel to Teachers and Parents. And forgive me, dear ones, just learning this computer. I can't even find a cursor sometimes, so I apologize. Our poem is entitled Up and Doing Little Christians from Christian Activity Book Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 4, page 104. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number one, up and doing, little Christian, up and doing while 'tis day. Do the work the master gives you. Do not loiter by the way, for we all have work before us. You, dear child, as well as I. Let us seek to know our duty and perform it cheerfully. Amen.
Up and doing, little Christian. Gentle be and ever kind, helpful to thy loving mother, e'en her slightest wishes mine. Let the little children love you, for your care and harmless play, and the feeble and more willful, help them by your kindly way.
Patience, self-control, young Christians, no crossbook or angry word. Follow him who died to save you, follow Jesus Christ, your Lord. Help the suffering and needy, help the poor whom Jesus loves. Tell the sinner of the Savior who still lives to bless above.
Number four. Up and doing, little Christian, trust not thyself alone, but work out thine own salvation through the blood of God, dear son. Jesus loves you, little Christian. Turn not from his love away, but go forth and do his bidding, up and doing while it's day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to share special music. If you are acquainted with this hymn, dear ones, you can be able to join. It's entitled, Savior, Teach Me. Savior, teach me day by day. Love, sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter blessing cannot be, loving him who first loved me.
With a child's glad heart of love, at thy bidding may I move. From to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me.
Teach me I am not my own, I am thine and thine alone. Thine to keep, to rule, to save from all sin that will enslave.
Loving, loving, finds employ in obedience all her joy will be loving him who first loved me. Teach me thus thy steps to tread, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me, loving him who first loved me.
If any have any testimony that they would like to share, dear ones, may you unmute your mic. We are going to continue by the ending of our review section with prayer. So next week, dear ones, we will continue with part 10 of our lesson entitled In Pilate, Judgment Hall, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to close our family review with prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most unholy name. Lord, we thank you once more for gathering us here to have a blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the little ones and also for their parents. Thank you for this beautiful lesson that we have received today. And may we continue to learn all the lessons that you try to, that you gave us, Father, and that we are praying for your strength to follow. Be with us as we continue into the other sections of the study. May you continue to bless us. Be with the speaker, I pray. Continue to bless and keep us elevated, Father Jesus, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let me find that cursor. I'm sorry, dear ones. I have to find a little cursor. I don't know where it is.
Sometimes by pressing the control key, it will show you where it is.
The control.
Some programs allow you to press the control key and it will show you where the cursor is. I made mine larger and colored so it would, or pink so it would show up.
Okay, you're going to have to help me at the end of our study. But it doesn't go into the, just a minute, just give me a few seconds. I'm trying. I did touch it. Okay, but it disappears. Hold on. I'm touching it, but it disappears. Well, dear ones, I'm going to just end it here by God's grace. May you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.